else here, Logan? And welcome to a new episode of Podcorn.
Isn't that a special drink that gives you magical powers?
Maybe you.
What does that mean? Tell me.
Well,
because I don't like going into a show confused instantly. I have to wait till halfway through, and then I'm like, whole.
Why don't we forget about it, and then halfway through I'll say it again.
Okay. Then I'll be like, whole.
Right.
See, but then you've thrown me off. Whatever we're talking about, I'll be lost the rest of the show.
It shows normal as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Okay. So, how are you?
Good. How are you this week?
Pretty good.
Anything exciting happened to you this week?
Nothing nothing incredibly exciting that I can recall. No. Mm-hmm. I watched some documentaries.
Such as?
Well, I forget their
names.
This is
totally not
set up.
They're
all student made.
Oh, never mind. They're not real documentaries.
They weren't.
They're like, here's my friend. He's been in college 8 years.
Right. That's what, and they were all about me. But no, some of them were pretty good. Mm-hmm. I was, came into Dr. Gailey's class and watched some of them as part of the Chris thing today and et cetera, et cetera. But it was an interesting day.
Wait, hold on. They called you guys. First of all, you can't localize our podcast like this. Most people will be like, Dr. Gailey, what's going on?
Well,
but anyway, and people are like, Chris, who's this? So for part of your work, you went into a college class and watched documentaries is what I'm getting from this.
All right.
Because I'm just as confused as the average listener. Why did you do this? You got paid to go into some class you weren't even taking?
That's right.
Okay, well.
Chris was on the jury, and he just asked me if I wanted to come. So
and who is Chris?
Chris is my boss.
Is your boss.
Yes.
So you went to work. That's an interesting story, more so than whatever you just told.
Paid to watch documentaries.
Okay, so you went in and watched them, and what came from that?
Nothing much. That's just what I was doing today. That's all I'm
okay.
saying. How about you?
Did you guys film this or anything? Did
nah.
you dub documentaries? No? Mm-hmm. Nothing? Wow. Well, today's my day off of work.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going good. I have to do this stupid podcast thing, coming into my day off, but I don't even get paid for this. I work, they actually pay me, you know?
Did you watch some movies today, didn't you, being your day off?
Yes, I watched one movie.
What'd you watch?
Which is nothing new. I watch movies in my day on, too, you know what I mean?
I've seen you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today I watched Match Point by Woody Allen, which is a film that I think we mentioned this podcast a long time ago, because mm-hmm. I wanted to drag you down there and see it a long
and
time.
And now I'm going to see it now that you've seen it. The rental copy is still with
a
us.
A long time back, yeah.
But how is it?
I missed it so many times, I eventually had to go out and rent it this week or last week, whenever it came out. I mean, it was good. It was more than I expected from Alan, actually.
An ant.
Oh, I got an ant crawling on me. This early into the show, I'm already being attacked by fans.
That's right.
Did I kill it? Oh, thanks.
It's in my bed
okay.
now.
Meanwhile, and mm-hmm. you know, it's funny because Alan refuses to give up the same opening and closing credits that he's used since the 70s.
Is it look at Manhattan?
And well, no. He's never what? No, Alan. Uses
that was
the
but black and white.
The black and white. Yeah. Okay. No, Manhattan's one of the few times. This is the trivia that he's like strayed from that because
right.
that's what all Manhattan.
It's
was
really called. All I've ever seen.
Yeah. So every film he's done that. So I was with that in mind, I was expecting a comedy. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Look at these opening credits. I'm used to seeing this at the beginning of his comedies. But no, nothing. It was a drama, but it was a good drama. I'll really give it that, I think. And I ended up giving it a 7. As our listeners know, that's a 7 out of 10. What brought down was Scarlett Johansson, who I've still yet to like in really anything besides Eight-Legged Freaks.
Uh-huh.
Which she wasn't really set up to act in that, so she's okay. But when she tries to act, it never works.
Yeah, she's not great.
And she and it's
not anything against
one
her.
Of the big dramatic scenes. She's it's one of those you should be yelling, "Why are you doing this to me?" He's like, "How dare you do this to me?" She's always this sort of like pouting man
but
type.
But to
woman.
Be fair, she was eating a lot of peanut butter mm-hmm. and jelly that day.
A lot, but Match Point, I thought it was a decent film, and
right.
I really wish I would have seen it in theaters now.
Well, I'll have to watch it.
You should.
I'll report back.
But clear a good 7 days to watch this
uh-huh.
movie, Ryan. Because it's a lot of, it goes on for a while, and it doesn't seem like a time, but afterwards I looked at the clock, and I'm like, time for the podcast!
3 days later.
Yes.
Well, how does it feel to be on the 11th show? We've reached the 10th show hump,
uh-huh.
if you will.
Well, there was a lot of humping in between the 10th
uh-huh.
and this show,
uh-huh.
but I'm glad to actually be there now. How about you? Are you glad
I
to be
I feel like
over
the show has a... He has a more of a state of permanence now. Like, we've done over 10 shows. It means we're going to keep on trucking.
Well, that's it. Permanence isn't brought on by, the fans. It's only brought on by us. Because we're like, we're here to stay whether you like it or not, people.
Right.
Okay.
And they are
sure
lobbying against us, but
yeah,
they still are going to.
Letters of murder, such as, what did we get from Colorus this week, Ryan?
Well, Colorus, Bill Colorus, editor of the Chattanooga Pulse, who has sent us some questions over the past couple of weeks. This week he wants to know, what do you like to eat before a podcast?
Well, Ryan, what do you like to eat before a podcast? What did you eat before doing this Monty podcast today?
Well, let's see. Today, I went to University Pizza and Deli, which is a local campus restaurant.
Okay. Hence the word university in the, mm-hmm. the title.
Would you like to tell the story?
No, go ahead.
Okay. And I had what's known there as a camel rider.
Uh-huh.
Which I was previously too afraid to order because I
yes,
didn't know what I was getting into.
There was a lot of humping last week. Yeah.
Exactly. And I didn't need any more in my life, frankly. Mm-hmm. However, it's very good. It's a sub sandwich. with like ham and salami, a couple different kinds of meats and cheeses, and it's got Thousand Island dressing. Very, very good sandwich. I highly recommend everybody who lives on campus to go and try a Camel Rider at UPD.
Stop that, because we have, what, one listener who goes to UTC, I think? Which is me, by the way, and yes. I just graduated, so forget this.
Fine.
I'm out of here.
What did you eat?
I ate a bowl of cereal this morning,
uh-huh.
and that was it. And that was hours ago.
Well, the cool thing is, a lot of times we do these podcasts right after we go see a movie. And so we'll end up eating out, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite place to eat out when we do a podcast?
Ooh, I don't know. Are we talking fast food? Or are we talking sit down?
Well, it can be any.
I don't really, like, go out and I'm like, I need to eat this, you know, great meal before I go home and do the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem is, what a lot of people don't know, is that we do the podcast at different times.
Sure.
We started out with a set time. That's when the show was sucky. And now the show is, you know, somewhat sucky. We do it whenever we want to, and this mm-hmm. is what we're doing mm-hmm. now. I guess I shouldn't complain about having to come in today.
What does this have to do with food, Logan?
I don't know. What was food?
Huh? I tell you what we've been eating recently that I've enjoyed.
What's that?
The Wendy's Value Meal stuff, like the you know, nuggets and all that. That's good stuff.
We just had that last night. Mm-hmm. That's the first time in months, I think.
I've had it recently. I don't know where you
okay.
were.
Okay. No, I haven't had it in a long time, so it was good to actually stop there. This show's turned into a plug for Wendy's, I guess.
Apparently.
They're not paying us. They should be putting our mugs on faces. Wait, hold on. Our faces on mugs. No, wait, hold on. Our mugs on cups. That's what I meant to say a while back. Our mugs on cups.
So back to the show. What do we see this week, Logan?
This week we saw four films, Ryan.
Whoa.
Four.
Whoa.
Not a single one of them was good.
No. Not even a single one was even close to good.
No, they didn't even try,
yeah.
honestly. I think maybe the first one of the four might have tried, but it was trying towards people besides us, I think. And then the second one rolled along, like, there's no use. We already got those people who, besides Logan and Ryan, who liked the first one. The third one rolled along, and they're like, we just need the money, so we won't try.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one was like, oh, we won't try, and they're probably making the fifth one right now without even trying.
That's right. In fact, they accidentally made it. That's how little the
try actually. So we'll be reviewing that next week, I guess.
Well, we're talking, of course, about the most depressing quadrilogy of comedies I can think of.
That still sounds fake, by the way.
It is fake. However, and the most depressing part is that it involves people that we used to like, and we still like, but it just involves people that we have unfortunately fallen from our graces recently.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about these scary movie movies.
Ouch,
Ryan.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. So the first one, we watched all three leading up to the release of the fourth one,
mm-hmm.
which, how late are we on this? When did it come out, 2 weeks ago?
It came out 2 weeks ago, and it was the number one movie for a week, which is why we're like, oh, we need to see this to review it for everybody.
Right. And we did keep our semi-promise from last podcast, which said we would go out and do that.
And the podcast before that, I think.
Well, possibly.
Yeah. Wait, that's one that never aired, so
right.
never mind. Forget
so
that.
So that doesn't count.
So just last podcast. We didn't lie for once. Good job, Brian.
Hey, let's high five. Anyway, the first movie, of course, is a parody of Scream, mostly.
Uh-huh.
That's the biggest parody prevalent in that movie. And what they're trying to kind of do in the first one, is sort of call back that 70s visual pun humor. You know, I say kind of here.
Yes, okay. I'm with you so far.
But they fail because they don't understand how it works. And this is, of course, a movie injected and infected with the Wayans brothers.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
I agree with all that. And you mentioned visual humor, correct?
Yes.
And I would agree with that while adding something on. A lot of audio humor, too. Because the Wayans brothers have always had this thing, and this goes to White Chicks also, I think.
Did you see White Chicks?
No, but this is in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I saw enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
I turned that halfway off, you know. The other half I watched.
Right.
Where they put, every joke has this audio side of it that's just completely annoying. They feel like it's not funny unless it's a kick in the groin joke, you know. It's like, okay, you can kick someone in a groin, and visually there you go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add, you know, this really sound
whack
effect to it, yes. That makes it so obvious and sounds like something's breaking, and there's a soggy sound there too, which, and this is what I'm describing here is what they're hoping for. They're going to be like, oh, ew, woo, mm-hmm. ew, ew.
Which we were so upset when we saw the fourth one that the entire audience was indeed having that exact reaction.
Yes. That's another thing. I've avoided seeing all these with an audience except for this fourth one now, and that sort of brought me down too, that everyone was like,
I did see the first one tonight.
Actually, let's go, whoa, wait, huh?
I saw it when it came out a long time ago.
What? Why, Ryan?
I didn't know any better.
He's just now admitting this to me. You didn't know who the Wayans brothers were at the time?
I knew the Wayans brothers, but I was like, I'll give it a chance.
No, Ryan. Yeah. No. Was it because everyone else was doing it? Because that'd at least be an
excuse. I think my dad wanted to see it, so I went with
your
him.
Dad?
I know.
And I respected his opinion in movies. Ryan's dad, you're out of my book of life now.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So I like the guy.
I know. Basically, the movie falls flat because it has a lot of these over-the-top overused cliche jokes where there's nothing that's original, there's nothing you haven't seen a million times before in every Adam Sandler movie, and there's nothing that recalls truly the spirit of Naked Gun, Airplane, those kind of movies.
Right. On top of that, they go straight for, I'm going to say the first two were adult humor. They go straight for, oh, there's an ejaculation joke in here. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, this guy's masturbating now. Oh, he fell and hurt his wiener.
Hey,
and it's all
one
jokes
of the characters
like that.
Is gay, Logan.
Yeah, and the other one smokes pot. Ha, so apparently that's the two biggest jokes from there.
Right.
I think I got one laugh out of the first film, so I ended up giving it a 2. How about you, Ryan?
I gave it a 3, but we usually do rate, I rate 1 star higher anyway, usually. But I think we think of the same thing about it. My scale's just different.
So. I'm gonna stop falling for this. So, Logan, what'd you rate it think? Because I think whatever I say, you're just like, oh, then I give it one point higher.
Yeah. Not the case.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's about right for me. Actually, I did start to give it a 4, and then I reneged. Mm-hmm. So you might be thinking of that, which is true. But I just, I don't know. I guess all the Hills Have Eyes movies have touted me, or rather tainted me.
Okay.
But anyway, so, yeah, not a good movie.
Not a funny movie.
Not a funny movie at all.
It's, you know, it's out here as a comedy, which it's not. Yet somehow this movie managed to have 3 sequels, Ryan. 3, count 3, even though... And I brought this up to you before, that the first one promised no sequels.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, well, it's the whole money thing. What can you do?
Anyway, then the Wayans brothers were like, hey, we need money to do a second one right now.
Right.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Ryan, because they were talking to you.
Right.
Listen, Ryan.
So I approved of the second one.
Yo,
sorry.
We don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a script.
Mm-hmm.
So we got this one place we rented for the weekend, right? It's a mansion. Let's go shoot the whole film there, and we'll surround ourselves with people much funnier than us. That way we don't have to write a script. They're comedians.
Which proved to somehow work for them better than it did the rest of the series.
Yes, because it was the best one, coming in at a 3, I have to point out, which I guess was a 4 from you, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, as a 3, I only gave it that for Chris Elliott, who was actually much better used here than he was in the 4th one. The 4th one, I don't know if he needed a paycheck that bad or not. He probably lost a lot of money on the book he wrote, so he's like, oh, I got to make up for this really quick.
Yeah.
Which is a good book, by the way. But, Chris Elliott used not to any sort of potential at all, but used at least in Scary Movie 2. David Cross comes in.
Chris Elliott, funny guy, right? And
yes.
He's relegated to this one prop humor joke.
Right.
The whole movie. He's nothing that I recall, no other joke that doesn't focus on this one joke.
Well, there's, I think, 2 times he got a laugh from me, and that's when he was just being Chris Elliott. Yeah, exactly right, when he's improvising. But it looks like a lot of that was cut. Like, he'd start, and the Wayans brothers like, hold on.
Wait a minute.
We pay for that prop.
Yeah.
David Cross, who once again is really just set, you know, is a prop holder pretty much throughout the film. He's like,
well,
I'm in a wheelchair.
At least that
oh, I have problems here.
Like I mentioned to you, at least that's like a Cross bit. Like, you could see that as a Mr. Show sketch. A sketch, I can say. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to last the whole movie.
Which is only really, that joke comes up once. It's not really a recurring joke. It's used like half the time, the second time it comes up. But it's like 1.5 times, I guess, it's used in the movie. So it's really quite a recurring joke. But
well, you know.
It's a joke at least, you know. But Elliot actually wins over Cross in that film, I think. Because not too much actually, Cross was good. And it's great to see him, I guess. But not too much good came from that. And then Curry showed up. And
yeah,
he's just a
Tim
great
Curry.
Actor. Yeah, Tim Curry showed up. And he's just a great actor, and it's good to see him actually act, and someone actually acting in the Scary Movie.
He really didn't phone it in. Like, I don't remember a Tim Curry performance that was phoned in. He's pretty good.
Yes.
Always lives up to your expectations.
But like a lot of recent Curry projects, you can tell the whole movie, he's like, you know, where did I end up to be here? What happened in my career? I was doing great in Rocky Horror. I was going places.
That's right.
And he's still playing in Rocky Horror, so that went somewhere at least.
But he didn't do, we talked about this, any reference to Rocky Horror in that movie. Because, I mean, he's in a mansion, you'd think maybe it would come up.
But you know, if they did, it would have been cut, because the Wayans brothers were like, that's not funny.
I don't understand that.
Yes,
that
exactly
doesn't
right.
come from a movie made in the last 10 years.
Anyway, so I think we get 1.5 acts in Scary Movie 2. Then after that, the movie just sort of, like, plays in a, let's all split up and roam around. But they don't even say that. They just sort of, like, go places, no one knows why.
Yeah.
Curry's like, I'll go to the next room, the next thing we know, he's dead, pretty much. Chris Elliott disappears for 1.5 hours in the film.
It's a series of scenes that don't have anything to do with the story, which is a recurring theme in all the Scary Movie movies.
Yes, exactly right. But more so in the second one than any of the other ones, I have to say.
Okay.
In fact, the most plot we ever got from the Scary Movie movies was 3 and 4.
I don't know, yeah. You don't think the 4th one was more scenes with no plot?
Oh, no, it was getting back to that. 3 had more plot than anything else.
3 had more plot.
Before, But three had so much plot that it was boring, but four was even more boring, I thought. Mm-hmm. But once again, less plot. It's like they had a lot of plot, but never went anywhere. Mm-hmm. They just draw a scene out as long as they could, and then they cut to the next scene, which was just a continuation of that scene. Mm-hmm. And finally, like an hour into the movie, I think something actually happened.
Well, we talked about this, that the third and fourth ones are incredibly boring. Mm-hmm. The first two were offensively, you know, unfunny. And the second two, not funny, but also very boring.
Yes.
So it didn't help anything.
But the second one I gave the highest rating to, because it was the closest thing to funny that the series ever has ever come.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, despite the fact that it's an act and a half, it at least was not boring. I didn't get bored during the second one so much. There's, you know, a lot of it was just trying to, if you can get through that joke, you'll be okay, I think. But the second one, I think, was probably the shortest, too. I don't know that for a fact, but looking back
on it...
It
seemed like because...
Only because it's a running around movie, and that was it, yeah.
And you could be like, oh, hey, Richard Mull. I like
him. Exactly, right.
Oh, he popped up.
Once again, he just pops up and leaves, pretty much. He's never really... That never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
So then we get to... Well, let's mention what happened between the first two and the second two. There was something happened in between there that was pretty big. Sorry I've been talking so much. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, you're fine. The Wayans brothers basically left the franchise. We were talking about how, and I think... I don't know if you have the whole story or I do, because we had some conflicting information, I thought.
What I understood was that they wanted to do another movie with the same company, which was Dimension Movies. But Dimension's like, hey, we want you guys to do a scary movie. They're like, well, we don't want to do another scary movie, but we'll do this. So they signed on to do another movie, but it wasn't in fact a scary movie, so that's how White Chicks ended up getting made.
Right.
White Chicks was in production at the same time, Scary Movie 3, or around that same time. But
and sadly, the person who took over the helm was David Zucker.
Right.
Who we all know as being one of Zucker, Zucker, and Abrams of the triumvirate who gave us Airplane and Top Secret and Kentucky Fried Movie and all. A bunch of great stuff we like from the Naked Gun from the past.
But wait, there's more to it than that, Ryan. Who else stepped in?
Pat Proft.
Yeah, what about him?
Pat Proft, let's see, he wrote, you know a lot more about Pat Proft than I do, but he wrote Spies Like Us, right? Didn't he write Spies Like Us?
No, that was not Pat Proft.
Okay, you tell me about Pat Proft. I've always known Pat Proft as in working with Zucker, Zucker, and Abrams, but I've never been very specific as to what he's
doing. He's one of
He did part of Modern Problems, isn't he?
No. He was a writer for one of the Hotshots films, I believe. That's up in the air, I think. Wrongfully Accused is his biggest film.
Okay, that's a great
movie. That's the first big written and directed by credit that he's had. He's a writer behind Brain Donors, which you may know as the tribute to the Marx Brothers. Yeah,
thing, right.
Which was a decent film. It was a funny film. There wasn't anything going on in that movie, but it was a funny film at least.
I want to see it.
And most people know him, and he started his career from Police Academy. And he's behind a lot of that 80s... I fell down and hurt my wiener jokes.
Right.
Which is funny when I say it. No, I have to laugh at that for a second. But he's still doing this, and every now and then he'll forget how to do it and write a good movie. and Wrongfully Accused is a great example of how this genre will still work, despite the fact that he's making fun of The Fugitive, which when Wrongfully Accused came out had to be like 6 or 7 years old almost.
Right.
But it worked, and it's a very funny film, and one of the reasons it worked was because of Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, him and Zucker were probably like, hey, why don't we bring in Nielsen? He'll improve this whole series, too.
Right.
But that's not the case, first of all, because he didn't do that. We'll get to that in a second. And number two, I doubt they were even thinking that. Well, I think everyone involved in that film was like, we need a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes across even more so in the fourth one, I think. It really seems like Zucker, after... the bomb that was My Boss's Daughter. He just needs a paycheck now.
I was trying to think. Does Charlie Sheen, besides one I can recall, have any lines in the fourth movie? Besides, this is a bad time?
Good question. Why was he even in there?
Yeah.
I mentioned that they should have switched his part with Bill Pullman, because that would have made... Because that was actually the part Bill Pullman played in The Grudge, which would have been funnier, I think.
Right.
But at the same time, hopefully, Bill Pullman had been smart enough to turn down any sort of erection jokes that, Charlie Sheen, not so much, because that's based on his real life, probably. But Bill Pullman is actually a good actor, and he's an excellent actor in the fourth film. He's the Tim Curry of the fourth film, Ryan.
Yes, he is.
He does a great job, and
but
of his acting is just kind of staring at everything going on. Yeah, Bill Pullman's always good, though. Except in The Grudge, I have to point out.
Yes.
In which he's never looked older. He looked younger and scary.
Maybe he was an homage, because I don't remember Bill Pullman having any lines in The Grudge.
Remember, he walks out at the beginning and dies. I'm not ruining it, because it's the end of The Grudge. But, when he comes back later on, because in The Grudge they tell the story
again. Yeah.
He has lines later on.
Okay.
But a lot of it is just standing around looking, which is what
very,
he does best
It's a very
now.
Slow movie.
Yes. Okay, but getting back to Scary Movie 3.
Well, the third one was probably... I don't know. The
boring,
third one had the most...
Not funny.
Well, like you said, it had the most plot. Didn't you say that?
Yes.
It probably had the most potential to be a good movie. And it did have, like you said, Simon Rex, who you introduced me to through...
Yes, Simon
we'll
Rex.
We'll talk about what movie, because that's a good way to end this. But.
Yeah, it really is. Simon Rex also working with Chevy right now, as I might have mentioned to you, but we'll get to that later.
Okay.
But Yeah, so the third one comes along. You know, we're all excited about the director, and the writers are actually decent, so this could possibly be good. It's not, because I'm going to go ahead and say this, even though I probably shouldn't, because we've almost gotten in trouble saying stuff like this before, which now I think about it, really makes our show seem pretty bad. But it seems like when Zucker came in and took the whole series over, he's like, you know, the audience we're going for, I guess I have to get a certain African-American joke across the screen every 15 minutes or so.
Well, it's
and it
not,
really, it, no, it's painfully evident, I think.
Yes, yes, but I think what you're, maybe it's not fair to classify that way. I know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe it's just this, like, what everybody thinks the young, I don't know what, MTV, I don't know if that's accurate, generation crowd likes. Like, everybody, like, the rapper jokes. I mean, like, crazy, stupid, urban jokes.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I think it's more
I don't
so,
think that's necessarily black jokes.
Well, I think it's but, more what the Wayans brothers were doing.
Well, it's the Wayans brothers style of humor.
Yes, that's what they were doing, and a lot of what they were doing relied on that sort of audience, because, I mean, that's the main audience they're going to bring in anyway. And so,
do you think he felt pressured, or he wanted to do it that way, or the writers just made that decision?
I really do feel like everyone involved just wanted the paycheck. Yeah. No matter if they felt pressured or what, I felt like they'd probably give in
just
to whatever
crank
the studio,
it out.
Yeah, crank it out and be done with it. And so, it worked. They got a fourth one out of it.
So what you're saying is basically what we're seeing is good writers not caring. So every once in a while there's a funny joke, but since they're not trying to polish it, it's just what is what it is.
And
first
it seems,
draft stuff.
Yes, and then when it seems like there was a funny joke, they didn't bother to actually tell the cast how to do this joke right.
Right.
And they actually themselves didn't bother to shoot it right. It seems like they set the camera up and they're like, go, you know, I get paid for the day.
Although,
no what.
Zucker's touch is evident. At least it's better
oh, more
visually
so,
directed.
Yes, it's visually better directed. The writing, there are scattered funny jokes, but only I think three of them hit in the third film, actually, which is... But most of them are funny. They're just not delivered well at all. And it's kind of like, oh, I'm stuck with this cast. So I might as well use them.
And oftentimes, it's the only thing that is funny about a joke is that a performer we've already liked, like Leslie Nielsen, will deliver an unfunny joke well or something that'll get a laugh or the occasional funny
he
joke.
He was really a letdown for me in the third film.
In the fourth film, he was. Like, he was not so much for the third film.
In the third film, I thought he had like one funny line. The rest was just... I don't know. It's stuff we'd all seen Lloyd Bridges do 10 times better in the Hot Shots film.
That's true.
And Lloyd Bridges was lovable doing it at least. Nelson's like, okay, this president's, you know, an ass. I want to get rid of him anyway.
Well, that's why you voted.
exactly right. Because Nelson was an ass. But the third film, too much plot. I think we were really let down by this because we were expecting a lot from these people. But after that, we didn't expect too much out of the fourth one. So should we move into that now?
Yeah, the fourth one I think is where this trend is most evident. I want to touch on this, where slapstick, which can easily be funny and has been funny for years, is really overused. I think the fourth one is the best, or one of the best examples of that.
Yes.
And I think as we talked about, the only reason slapstick is funny, it's really only riding on one principle of comedy, and that's surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not expecting anybody to get hurt. Well, if somebody gets hurt, like you said, at the end of every scene, if every scene ends with somebody who gets hurt, then the surprise factor's gone and it stops being funny.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? The audience, as you were there, of course, the audience ate it up.
They
everyone in the theater, every single time someone got hurt, it got the biggest laugh, more so than anything else. The verbal gags in this film got hardly any laughs at all. The one that comes to mind is, thought I saw a face, and he's like, did it have a nose?
That
she's like, yes, and it sounds like a face. Which isn't really that funny of a joke, but that's better than someone getting hit in the crotch 10 times in a movie.
Yeah, I think that what happened, this sounds incredibly pretentious, but
yes.
I've shared my theory with you before that, and we talked about it, that people just don't know what to laugh at anymore. There's not enough funny stuff out there. And they don't, like, what's easier? Should I think about a joke on Mr. Show or whatever, and or something, you know, old school like the 70s stuff, and laugh and have feel like I worked for it? Or should I, oh, someone's, you know, pooping, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam Sandler's
hilarious.
Great
example. Yeah, exactly right. But the audience that best works to think about jokes is not people our age, because you have to be sort of instilled with that early in life. Like, you know, you and I both were.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because every now and then we'll go see one of those movies, and there's certain people in theater you can tell are really getting it, because right when that joke happens, they'll laugh. But other people, it takes like a few seconds to actually process that joke, I think. Then it clicks, and then they laugh at it.
Stupid, stupid morons, I like to call them.
I don't know if I'd go that far. But we're not the only ones out there, and they're still making these films every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I bring this up like biweekly now on this show. I'm pregnant. Once again, I bring this up biweekly on this show.
bisexual.
I'm bisexual. Once again, I bring this up bi-weekly on this show. The best films doing that sort of humor right now are horror movies. And that's why I think we hit more of those every week than everything else. Because, like Eli Roth, for example, once again, he knows where the comedy's coming from. And he knows he knows how to get to it. He uses a form of slapstick in an excellent way, too.
And dark comedy's very hard to do. So if you do that, that's a million points for you, I think.
A million points. And once again, another thing Scary Movie 4, and this has been building up all through the series, but Scary Movie 4 relies on cameos more than any of the other ones, I think, to get just laughs. It's like, hey, it's Dr. Phil, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Ryan, credits himself as Dr. Phil in the credits.
McGraw. Well, maybe
like
they
Bill Cosby now? I mean, come on.
He is a real, well, is he a real doctor?
I don't even know.
Look,
but the
I
point
hate
is,
Dr. Phil.
Okay, yeah, but
I'm not saying
is,
he's
you know,
cool, but I thought that opening segment, I mean, separate from the rest of the film, I thought it could have been worse. I thought it was all right.
Well, that's why I'm crediting myself as Mr. Logan Lee in the next film, by the way. Just so everyone knows, I'm a man.
Right.
Well, thank you. Okay.
I made a mistake in the credits, by the way. It's Miss. Sorry.
Miss with a Z.
Mrs. Logan Lee.
Mrs. Logan Lee.
But yeah. So, you know, we've been...
pretty harsh to these films. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Don't see them. I'm sure most of you... I'm sure there's no way you could have gotten this far without seeing at least the first one by this point.
Yeah.
But stop there. If you like that one, maybe go to the second one. But stop there. If you like that one, there's no hope at all.
But stop.
Kill yourself now. And stop
just
there.
Just kill yourself now. That's what you should do.
Ouch. That's bad advice. I'm not a doctor, so don't listen to me.
The Chevy Chase bit, it's like, take your razor and cut your throat.
Yeah.
Now, if you did that, you have no sense of humor.
Oh, man. Funnier people, Ryan.
I know.
It hurts.
Play the National Lampoon Radio Hour on the show instead of anything
that's
else.
That's right. Exactly.
But listen, I don't want people to think that we, although this is kind of true, measure any film by how funny it is. Like, even horror films, we're like, is it funny?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that's the way you show you're smart, people. Like,
exactly
stick
right.
some of this crap in there.
I mean, a lot of people with the scary movies, and this is most of the reviews I've read, no one's really come out and said, none of the critics have come out and said that they hated this scary movie before. What they've said pretty much is, hey, if you don't like this, you knew what you were getting into when you went to the theater.
Yeah.
But I was hoping for comedy. That's what this is a comedy. It should be funny.
Well, critics are very afraid to criticize comedies, I find. They're
yes.
like, when it comes to criticizing comedy, it's more like, well, if you like sophomoric humor, or well, if you
yeah.
like this sort, if you like. It's like, no. Let's decide what comedy is, like we've decided what drama is, and
exactly
call it bad
right.
comedy.
That is true, and they refuse to acknowledge anything as bad comedy,
yeah.
is what it is. But yes, Scary Movie 4, we did know what we were getting ourselves into, but once again, it's a comedy I expected to be funny.
Much like we said with The Hills Have Eyes, where after we were depressed by the original, we didn't want to see the remake, that turned out to be a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
But this was the same situation. Even from the very first movie, I was like, do we have to go on?
Do we have to?
And we made it through four movies for you, the Podcorn listeners.
And once again, we have to stop dragging Rosie into this, and they know who Rosie is by this point.
No, well, you can't localize the show. Rosie is.
But no, we've mentioned her in the past, and I told her she is.
Go on.
But she turned to me once again, and she goes, we spent $16 on that. So I'm starting to feel bad about this whole thing, and this is what we're doing for you. This is a service, people. Keep that
but those
in mind.
Those nachos at the theater were great.
Those nachos were great. They were
jalapenos.
10 times better than...
They don't charge extra for the jalapenos. You
know,
can get it.
Ryan, those nachos are funnier than that movie.
You know what I forgot to do is get a free refill on that drink. I
you
done
should
that.
Have.
I wonder if I get the shot of vanilla free, too.
Well, you know, you could have left any time during that film and come back and known exactly what was going on.
You're right. I would be like, did someone get hit in the crotch?
Yeah, the
I was
same
gone.
Crotch would have still been getting kicked when you came back in.
Yeah, the same crotch. Crotch. A crotch too far.
Listen, that's the, speaking of two, every joke's used twice in that film. I'm sure you noticed. I mean, we pointed out the law
trend.
Of two is not true in
it's
comedy.
Not a real law. It's
yeah,
a law
it's not
of
real.
Three. And
it's
if anything, the three has to be the good one.
The three, yeah. And the joke has to keep getting better. Instead of, oh, I kicked you once. Oh, no, here it comes. He's gonna kick. Oh, no, he didn't.
Score.
But yes, he just did.
Goal.
Scary movie.
Scary movie. What do you expect?
Scary movie two. So, second one was the best. Third one was on par with the second one, even though the second one was slightly better. Fourth one was on par with the first one. That's how it came down to me. What about you, Ryan?
I thought that the second and third were on par, and the fourth of them par with the first. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
I agree.
So I went with a 2-3-3-2, which is a secret code in my broken heart. Ryan, what did you end up with?
I think it was a 3-4-4-3.
3-4-4-3? Yeah, sounds about right, I guess. Mm-hmm. So what's on the plate for next week? Have we?
I don't think
we've
really thought ahead. Am I forgetting something? We've bandied about some ideas, but I don't remember what's coming out.
Well,
you know, talked about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did that.
But I don't think we decided on anything. I'm not entirely sure what's coming out.
Yeah,
should we look at it now and talk about it?
No.
Talk about it later?
We'll make crazy promises again.
Well, what we should say before we go, we're sort of towards the end, is that if you want a funny movie that makes fun of horror movies, and this movie isn't
and
the best movie ever made or anything.
Ryan, tell
actually,
me.
You really should see Psycho Beach Party. But
oh, yeah. Wait, is that what you're about to talk about?
No, I was about to talk about Shriek If You Know What I Did Last Friday the 13th.
I forgot about that. Yes. Okay. a film which Simon Rex is still a bit player in this, but he's really funny, and he is a very, as far as expressions go, he's a very Chevy type way of doing his expressions, as far as what other people are saying and the way he reacts to that, which is really good for him.
The stupid, not to, you know, to categorize, but the stupid mm-hmm. Chevy, like Clark Griswold.
Oh Fletch. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I could see Simon Rex doing a smart part, though. And he might have.
I'd like to.
I haven't looked too far into his career to see other stuff he's mm-hmm. done. He's bounced back and forth, and I hope that he's, judging by his cameo in Scary Movie 4, one would think that he went on to be famous after Scary Movie 3, because, like, oh, they can only get him back for this cameo, you know? And but even then, he's underused. He's a funny guy, and it's a funny film. It's pretty much, Shriek. I don't know, yes, Shriek, if you know what I did last Friday the 13th.
Not Scary Movie 4.
Not Scary Movie 4, yeah, exactly right. I don't know if this was, if it was made as a sort of a, let's cash in on Scary Movie thing, or if it was... You know, made before Scream. I don't quite know. I should, probably should have looked in that before we came in. I wasn't planning to talk about this film, but I'm glad you brought it up. But it's along those same lines, but it's done 10 times better. It's actually funny. I think, Ryan, as you pointed out, during Scream Movie, we both were like, hey, that movie's a lot better than this one.
Yeah.
And as you said, well, that movie's really written for us, which is I think.
It really was.
It's not a perfect movie by any means. As far as the comedy goes, it's not all, you know, a laugh ride all the way through.
I think I gave it a 7.
But, yeah, I think I definitely gave it a 7. But when it works, it really works, and it keeps you laughing most of the way through. There's a couple of jokes that sort of fall, and it never becomes a victim, really, of that adult or even the third or fourth boy comedy. So that's what I was wanting to get at. The first and second were more of adult comedy with their sexual gags. And the third and fourth were the PG-rated boy comedies, I guess. Like, 12-year-olds love this thing.
Yeah.
So,
Great for slumber parties.
Great for slumber parties, exactly right. But that's an excellent film, and you should go... everyone should go check that one out.
Now, am I remembering the trivia right that, okay, Scream was originally called Scary Movie.
Yes,
so then,
exactly
as
right.
a joke, Scary Movie was called Scary Movie, but Scary Movie was originally called... something long like Scream If You Know What I Did Last something something.
Yes.
And then they call the other one Shriek If You Know What I
Did. Aaron Fitzberg is one of them. I think that's I shouldn't even bother with names now because Colossal Rise and Tales for Rome. Mm-hmm. But Aaron and some other guy, Jason I think, were the two writers who wrote that. Were the same writers behind Spy Hard, which was a success for them as far as parodies go, which is, you know, that same thing that's been going on for years. That same sort of comedy we were talking about.
Oh, that's Pat Prop too, right? Is that what I meant to say earlier?
Spy Hard?
Yeah.
No. He's in no way involved with that.
Who did Spy Hard?
Those two guys. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
they wrote it then.
Yes, they wrote it and directed it, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I know they definitely wrote it at least. And so that was a success for them. And they're like, oh, here's Hey Studio, here's this new film we wrote and all that. And what had happened was it got passed around, actually, and the Wayans brothers came in. And they're like, hey, we want to do this movie, but we're going to add our jokes to it. And you can tell which jokes they actually wrote and which they didn't. But still doesn't, I mean,
even their jokes aren't good.
Yeah, even their jokes aren't good. Yeah. And they've left, when they left the Scary Movie franchise after the first one, they've gone on now to do a date movie. And they Not Another Teen Movie was their other film.
Not Another Teen Movie has its moments.
It does have
not
its
horrible.
Moments, which, much like right. Spy Hard, actually. It's, every now and then it works, but it was, I think it was like every 20 minutes maybe there was a laugh.
I would say 10.
I gave it a 5 at the end. When it was
probably 6 or 7. I don't know if I even rated it.
The best part about it was the song at the end, though, which was incredibly well written, I thought, and done very well. I haven't seen Date Movie. We'll make a point to check it out sometime, but after all this, we needed a break, I think, from...
Well, it's going to be like Scary Movie, but I'll see it. I mean, the Scary Movie 3 or whatever. It's going to be that same sort of... You know, the joke varies from somebody gets hurt or whatever to remember this movie that we're referencing. Now, am I wrong in thinking this? I might be dead wrong. But it seems that...
wrong.
See, but, you know... I'm trying to think of something really wrong to say, but it was all horrible.
Go ahead.
That the Naked Gun, Airplane, the earlier Zuckerzuck Abrams movies made fun of movies that were already classic. But
yes.
Maybe I'm thinking... Because they probably made some fun of some contemporary to their time movies.
Well, when you look at it now, Airport is not a classic film. No one ever looks back on that as a classic film.
Right.
And everyone forgets that they made about 8 sequels of that,
right.
You know? But it was... At the time, it was a very contemporary thing to do. People look back... I mean, at the time, people were like, oh, you know, this movie, Airport, just came out like a year ago.
Right.
So I go there making fun of now. But Airplane works by itself, and that's why it's a good movie.
Right.
Well, all the scary movies, if you haven't seen those movies, I'm not going to say you're lost, but it doesn't work. You're not laughing.
Well, right. I turned to you because I haven't seen Ali, and I don't know if you have you?
No, I think Rosie informed me of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I turned to you during Scary Movie 4 when they did that, and I was like, is this a parody of something? Like, I'm not laughing already because it's not funny independently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that
right.
Mike Tyson?
And yes, I'm pretty sure that was. Yeah. I'm not positive, but it looked just like him. But anyway, why did they bring that Michael Jackson impersonator back? Who looks less like Michael Jackson now more than ever? Anyway, I forgot where I wanted to go with that. Oh yes, but their stuff works, you know, independently from the movie. Well, the thing with Scary Movie and those other comedies trying to do that, mm-hmm. is they just do that, they do the exact scene pretty much, and then they expect you to laugh. It's like, hey, it's not those actors doing it from the movie.
Yeah.
It's these goofy people doing it.
It's like,
and that's not a joke.
You have to make sure that what you're doing is going to be relevant in a couple of years, but then I get, people don't even think about it anymore. It's like, oh, I want to make money right now in the theaters, and then maybe on DVD, and then mm-hmm. it's, you know, I don't care if the movie goes into oblivion. You know?
Yes.
I don't think people think about the longevity of movies anymore, especially comedies.
That's right.
Which are viewed as pretty disposable. Well,
that's why a comedy is never going to win an Oscar.
Yeah, but who wants one anyway nowadays?
A comedy?
Who wants an Oscar nowadays?
Oh, well, not if a comedy's going to win.
That's right. That's wrong.
That's
it
wrong.
Should never happen.
It should never happen.
But you know who should win all the Oscars ever?
Who?
3-6 Mafia.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go there, Ryan.
Because, you know, it's difficult beyond these borders.
Beyond the borders of these
for
walls.
For a... Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't even remember the joke at that point, do you?
No, I'm just trying to think of another word for
No, okay, go ahead.
I couldn't.
For a prospector of
hoes? Is that panning for gold?
You didn't let me finish my joke there, though. Anyway, yeah, that's all I have to say this week. I'm done.
Okay, well, bottom line, I guess I'm going to say the same stupid thing every viewer says. You know, if you like Scary Movie, I guess you'll like Scary Movie 4, but you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So that's all that is right there.
Well, next week.
Next week.
Something better.
Next time on Podcorn.
You know what we should do next
week?
You'll
hear Logan say.
And we're not going to make any promises, though. But you know what we should do next week?
Go.
We should do a drama. Okay. We should find a drama and just
we
do
haven't
that.
Really... I mean, Inside Man got erased, and it wasn't so much a drama anyway.
Yeah.
We should do a hardcore drama.
That's right.
Or
one
just something
like, run! One like that. That was a ghost movie, I think.
That's right.
One like this. No!
What was the last good drama you saw? Not counting Match Point, if you count that, because...
Yeah, that was a drama, but...
We talked about it.
I don't know.
Somehow Finding Neverland comes to mind for me. That was a pretty good movie.
Yeah. It was decent, but it probably wasn't the last... I mean, it was good, yeah.
Just the last good one you saw, not the best, right?
Yeah, then, I don't know, Match Point, I guess, would, even though I can't count that, right. But I don't know. I'd have to really look at my back at what I've
read
for that. It's rare that I go see a drama unless it has actors or smiling. Like, I saw, you know, New World not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Christian Bale film.
You say that was decent?
It was decent, yeah. That film, we're talking about Match Point, New World went on for days, Ryan. And that's the first time, I make a point never to check my watch during a movie, but I check my watch during that movie.
Yeah.
I was like, it's still going on?
Well, you know, we have been criticized privately that we only watch horror films and all that stuff. So we definitely should branch out.
And be criticized publicly?
Be criticized publicly.
Yeah.
Because why not? Why not let everybody have some fun with it, I think. And see a drama next week.
Yay!
So we'll see you next week.
Yes.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Logan.
And keep listening to the old Podcorn.
See ya.